Hello and welcome to Church Planning Conversations, a podcast presented by the Asbury Church Planning Initiative.
Hey, excited to have today my dear friend, Dr. Yosmar Alvarez, who is a man of many hats. He has two doctorates. He's a veterinary doctor, but he also has a doctor of ministry from Asbury Seminary. He's in the DS with the United Methodist Church in the Lexington District. But more importantly, for our friendship and collaboration, he oversees a global network church planning discipleship multiplication network called Disciple 21. Yosmar, it's great to have you with us today. How are you?
Thank you. Always exciting to share time with you, my friend.
Amen. Well, it's good to have you here. Yeah. We're just going to kind of have an informal conversation. And we're going to talk about church planning and church multiplication, why that matters. So the work that you're doing, I think you would probably say at the very heart of it is discipleship and disciple making.
Of course.
Tell us a little bit about kind of your heart for discipleship and Disciple 21 and how's that connected between disciple making and church planting?
That's a very good question. Well, you know, last time I checked my Bible, there's no mandate on go and plant churches.
Yeah.
So, and that's a fact. So, which means that the mandate is to go and make disciples, right? So, I really believe with all my heart that every disciple is pregnant with the church. So, if you focus on making disciples, by default, you're going to plant churches, especially in the 21st century, where we have these paradigms and methods to plant churches that are not healthy in many cases. Some people are doing a very good job, but in many cases are not healthy. So when you go to the book of Acts, you will see that discipleship is at the storefront, you know, it's at the front of the burner of church planting. So the model that I see in the book of Acts is God sending teams of two or three. He sent Paul and Barnabas and others. He sent, you know, a team of two or three, and then these two or three, they would preach the gospel. And then when they preach the gospel, then we have new believers, and new believers on what? New believers in the gospel, not in the new era or anything else. And then after that, you organize the fact. So we go to the fact that after they believe in the gospel, they are baptized. They receive the sacraments, right? You organize them into community. You begin to train them. In Kabunga, you have a church. So I didn't mention money once, okay? I didn't mention money once. Yeah. So it's the fact that when we have two or three people that preach the gospel, two or three people with the heart of Jesus, you know, you transfer that DNA into others and you organize them into a community. You bring in the sacraments. Boom, you have a church. Right? So that's what happens again and again and again and again. So I really believe that discipleship is everything for the kingdom of God. God purpose is to make disciples, not only to have children, but we want us to grow as mature children, which is a disciple. You know, and that's the example of Jesus to us. So I really believe that without disciples, there is anything. So we really have to invest in people and have a process to make disciples from the very beginning. And for me, the connection between discipleship and church planting is that when we see at these two important tasks, we have to create two systems to address both. You know, in many churches, you have only one system to make disciples, and that's all they have, and that's why they're not planting churches. So you have to have a system to make disciples and then a system to make leaders. Yes. So once you make disciples, let's say you have a three-step system, engage, equip, and send, for example. Well, after a while, you're going to create a pool of disciples. And then out of that pool, you're going to bring to identify it and discover and identify potential leaders who can become leaders. So every disciple will not become a leader, you know, but every leader is a disciple. So you have to identify them and then take it into another system and go deeper, you know, really train them deeper and equip them so they can go and be church leaders. And that's for me the connection. You know, most people, most churches, they only have one goal, one side. So.
And I know at the very heart of kind of your vision for church planting is multiplication. And I think that's kind of one of the challenges in the West in terms of most people when they think of church planting. We get a storm brewing out here. I don't know about where you're at. But multiplication needs to really be at the heart of the call to church planting. So we're not talking about just planting one church. We're talking about multiplying a movement of churches. Talk to me about that.
Well, it goes side by side. So I really believe that, you know, God is a generational God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the same way we are looking for generations of disciples, we have to be very intentional on planting or creating spaces for generation of churches. So it's the same system. Once you have this understanding, it's the same system. It repeats itself. So, for example, if I go to your church, I want to see generations of disciples. I don't want to see a big church. I'm not impressed anymore like I used to for a church of 3,000. That says to me nothing. I can have 3,000 people, and all of them are connected to the leader. Something happened to that leader, and boom, kabunga, you have no one is there. Anybody, you know, so we want to see a way of creating disciples in a way that produce generations. So when I see the pastor, I want to see to say to the pastor, okay, tell me who are your disciples here. He has to be able to identify them. It's not the whole congregation. So show me your disciples. And then I will go to the disciples and say to themselves, okay, tell me, you know, who are you reaching? You know, who are you transferring what you are receiving here? So that's generation one. Then generation two, I will ask the same question to those who have joined the church because of them. So by the time I finish, I'm looking for at least three generations of disciples inside of the local church. Mm. You know, who brought who, right? That for me is a mapping that I do for local congregation to understand where they are in discipleship, not only processing people, but I want to see generational churches, like an organic generational, you know, tree of disciples in the local church. When you see that, that's a good sign, because then it also will happen at the local church level. So when I go to a church, my first question is, how long this church has been planted? 3 to 5 years. Okay, so if the church is 7 years, 8 years, by now you should have at least one church planted out of that church. If you don't, that, I mean, you're going to be in decline pretty fast. You know, you're not going anywhere. But more than that, we're not looking for one church. We're looking for generation of churches, daughter churches, you know, granddaughter churches. And we have, you know, until 4 generations. So in my experience, that's what we're looking for when we go to a global movement, you know, how to multiply in churches and how to make disciples, you know, who make disciples all the time. And that's a culture. It's not a task. And that's what people don't understand, that it's not about how many disciples do you have. It's creating the culture for discipleship and a culture for church multiplication. And when you correct the culture, and by culture, I'm not talking about race and color and language. I'm talking about the way people think and act, what they do within that church. That's the culture of the church. If you establish that well, you're going to have a strong discipleship culture, but also a strong church multiplication culture, understanding that the culture, the church can grow by expansion, meaning growing where we are, but also growing by extension, growing, you know, other places and launching new communities, new ministries and people, especially in my work as a superintendent, churches of 20, churches of 30. In the past, they were very discouraged. Oh, we're 30. Oh, we're a church of 20. Oh, we're 15. We're little. So I said to them, listen, the head of the church is Christ. Last time I checked, there is no such a thing as small church. Yeah. Your church can grow by extension. So a church of 20 can plant another church of 20. Yeah. A church of 30. So there is, and that's for me the missional, and you and I have been talking about this, right? The missional, the perfect missional, mission size church.
Yeah. We're going to write that book one day.
Yes. Church of 30, 60, and 100. You know, that's Jesus in Mark for 20. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's, you do that, and that's like multiplying rabbits. It will go around the world.
You know? Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's really kind of what scorecard are you keeping? And most churches in the Western world have you know, equated success with large buildings, large church. I think that COVID over the last few months marks will be an interesting time in history that will mark the end of an era of the church growth movement, and will usher in the church multiplication movement.
Yep.
And so essentially we're talking, as we plant at the beginning, you're planting, you know, I use the word, I love that idea of creating the culture. It's an ethos, but it's also a part of others. We, you know, use the term DNA. You know, yeah. It's from the DNA from the very beginning that we're going to multiply disciples, we're going to multiply churches, and then we're going to multiply networks of networks. Talk to me about the Disciple 21 network. What's the big vision? How is it a network? Tell us just briefly kind of some of the things that are happening there.
Well, many things are happening. So the thing is, it's crazy. It's going like 300,000, like, yeah. You know, for miles. But for me, so as a network, so our goal is to plant in 10 years to plant as 2,500 churches. So 2,500 churches in 10 years, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. I know that we're going to surpass that goal. So I have this, you know, this under promise over deliver thing. But I really believe that it's doable, just because the fact, the way, the system that we have. So let me share a bit about that, right?
Okay.
So when we talk about a network, we are organizing ourselves to reach cities and countries with the same way. So we have we call it the 5x5 multiplication system. So we go into a city, we want to reach the north, the south, the east, and the west, and the center of the city. So that's our first goal, to establish a headquarter house church or a church in those areas, and then a boot camp, which is a training center where we are going to train leaders. And the goal is to train 50 leaders a year in every center. You know, in every center. Mm. Then we have this connection with Asbury, with you, with the institutes, Church Planting Institute. So we want to equip our leaders well. But basically, we'll be laser focused on leadership. And then we have these 50 students graduating every year. And by the time you finish in 10 years, you have what? 2,500 students, right? Because you're going around, you have 25 students times. Easy. Boom. You know, so it's a time, and I'm not talking about exponentially. So this is just going, you know, the process without exponential growth that happens usually after year 3 or 4, because the students will become, you know, they will multiply themselves again and again and again. So you're just receiving the new students. So I really believe that that's the way to do that. Then we move to the country. So we start with the house first, house churches. We want to see the house transform, the atmosphere of the house transform. A house church with sacraments in it. I mean, that's what makes the difference between a house church and a home group. We want to see the sacraments, we want to see the ministry of that house church to the community, right? So we have that book of Acts. And then we move to the city and we establish these five training centers. And then we move to the country. Then when we go to the country, we repeat the same system 5x5, right? It's north, south, east, and west, and center. And then we move to the continent and we do the same thing, right? So just to give you an example, like, you know, lastly, what the Holy Spirit said to us was, okay, you're going to conquer these countries, but you have to start with prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So we begin to identify how we're going to do this, because it's just a call from God to reach Latin America and all these countries, North America, South America, Caribbean, all of this. And then you see, wow, this is impossible. You know, until God gives you a strategy. The moment the Holy Spirit gives you a strategy, it becomes simple. So what simple means for us is we identified 28 countries, North America, Central America, South America, and the Caribbean, 28 countries. And then the goal now is to establish one house church in every country. So we are not so interested right now in growing in a country, yeah. But we are interested in establishing a house church in a country. Once we do that, then from there we begin to take over, right? The country for them with the kingdom, advancing the kingdom for Christ. So right now we are doing it. So right now we are in 17 countries out of 28. So we are only 11 to go, okay? And I'm telling you, I'm telling you that the goal is to have the 28 country by December. And then year 2021 and 22 will be infrastructure, training, and growth and expansion. And that's the way. And I'm not talking, about Latin America. I'm not talking about India and Dubai. In Nepal, where we already are, and we have friends, and we have, you know, churches and that are part of the network and everything. So it's happening in Spanish, it's happening in English, it's happening in Chinese. Some people say, well, are your principles, can be transferred to other cultures? I said, that's my answer to that usually is, last time I checked, the Bible is not, Western, it's not a Western Bible. Okay, so the principles I'm using are, you know, straight
the Bible.
From the Bible. You know, this is not a Western thing. This is a transcultural, intercultural, cross-cultural event. And that one, that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but we are growing.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of, we'll end on this. You know, we were together a couple years ago in England for the Global Church Planning Summit.
Yes.
Where we gathered leaders from 20 plus nations for just an incredible time of fellowship, but you know, leaders from Africa, India, Asia, throughout Latin America, Europe. And what were, I think a good place to end are especially kind of where we're at in this moment. I think it's a call from God to rediscover the essential DNA of the New Testament church. For today. And as you said, this is cross-cultural. This isn't limited to kind of one nationality or language. This is how God has worked in and through the church throughout the ages. Real quick, what are the top two, three, maybe four principles, just hit them off, of recovering New Testament Christianity for today for church planting, multiplication, discipleship?
Well, it's easy, man. This is not.
Take notes. This is where you want to take notes.
This is easy. Number one, prayer. I mean, you cannot move without prayer. There is no way. I mean, prayer. I'm talking about fervent prayer. I'm not talking about
praying. This isn't the wimpy prayer.
No. It's fervent prayer. You have to be in pain. You have to have a burden, you know, for the souls, for the country, for the region, for whatever it is. So prayer is one. Number two, I see the scriptures, you know, as a strong, very strong foundation. Without the scripture, every time you see a revival, the scripture is at the foundation of it. There's no other book. I have wrote books, you have written books, but it's not about those books. It's about the Bible. So you have to, we have to do this. So then we also have indigenous leadership. You cannot substitute that. You cannot come and overcome and remove everybody and then, you know, do yourself. No, you need indigenous leadership. You need to equip people and then remove yourself out of the equation. Work yourself out of the job. You have to do that. Then you have to preach the gospel, not positive thoughts and, you know, and new era and yoga and this, all this craziness that we're doing in the 21st century. You have to preach the gospel. You know, we have to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit is behind the gospel. So when the moment you preach the gospel, the moment you open your mouth and you begin to preach the gospel, you don't even have to pray for the Holy Spirit to show up. He will show up because that's his job. I mean, that's his job, you know, train us, convince us. So that for me is huge. It's key, you know, it's key to do that. Then you also have the fact that we need to learn how to penetrate the marketplace. We cannot continue being a church that is outside of the marketplace. We have to penetrate the marketplace. We have to send people into the marketplace. We have to be ready to testify and go, you know, into the marketplace to plant churches and be more aggressive. You know, I really believe that the COVID-19 thing, the only thing the COVID-19 did was to uncover what was already there. You know, it's like when you have in Kentucky, right here in Kentucky, it's awesome, but you know, this is Kentucky. So this is Kentucky. You know, this is Kentucky. There is no mangoes in Kentucky. Okay.
If I
decide to plant a mango tree here in Kentucky because I miss Cuba and I plant one here, listen, I will be spending so much money to keep that tree. That, you know, it would be crazy spending money to keep the tree, right? And then something happened. Winter show up. When winter show up, boom.
Yeah.
Boom. my mango tree is gone. However, all the trees that are indigenous to Kentucky will survive. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we have been doing with the church. So we have been creating churches and models that are not sustainable because that's not from God. So it's very human-oriented, very, you know, mind-oriented. And now the COVID-19, which is nature, comes in and just clean everything that is not according to God's DNA is being removed. Mm-hmm. And now we're going back to the roots, we're going back to the essence. And I believe that we're going to be better now in the 21st century, more ready in the 21st century to do what we need to do. What we did was good. I'm not saying that, it was good for the last century, okay? This is a new century and we need to be ready and we have to adapt. And the environment does that for us. I'm a vet doctor. So I really believe on all these theories about, you know, weather selection and climate selection, everything, mm-hmm. you know, you don't adapt, you're gone. This is it. Yeah. But I have faith in the church that the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. So we're going to be fine. It might not look the way we want to, but we're going to be fine. Yeah. You know, we're going to be fine.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, in many ways, I kind of see it as a great pruning. Where God's calling us to rediscover. I know, you know, our friend Howard Snyder, has written about this and Radical Wesley and some other books about how every revitalization renewal movement mm-hmm. is a rediscovery of something that has been lost to the church.
Yes.
And the church has lived through pandemics, wars. There's nothing new under the sun. And in every mass challenge, chaotic moment in history like this, church has refound itself and rediscovered those core things that you mentioned. Yosmar, go ahead.
Let me say this before you go. The reality is, this is a very oriental thing, saying that the present is everything and everything is now. Well, I'm telling you, the present actually, if you think about it, the present does not exist. You say hello, and that hello is in the past, on the spot, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, this rediscovering of the past is constant. You know, we mm-hmm. have to be, yep. We are the product of our past. Yep. I don't care what you think, but this is what it is. This is a fact. So how can we be intentional, and how can we create a space for conversation where we rediscover, you know, what it ours, what can lead us into the future. Now, we know that something changed, you know, the technology changed, science changed, health and technologies change, and we are going to be always inventing new things. But there is also things that never change. God never changed, humanity never changed, and creation never changed. I'm telling you, we have been here for 6 years, 6,000 years. We should be better in knowing there's nothing new. Now when Solomon said that, he was mistaken because Jesus did not show up yet. So he said, there's nothing new under the heaven. Yes, he does. What's for Jesus, okay? But now Jesus show up. Now we can say there is nothing new under the heavens.
Amen.
So that's the thought.
what's your website? Where can people find you?
You can go to www.discipulo21.com, which is disciple in Spanish. Find disciple in Spanish, write it down, and then .com. And then you can find us there. Also in Facebook, Discipulo 21, you find it there also.
That's good.
As well.
And it's also disciple21.com as well.
Yeah, and also disciple 21. English, yes. Yeah, for the English.
Yeah, I love it. So that's what I love about the work that you're doing. You're kind of started with a wave of planting Hispanic Latino churches and are now planting Anglo churches and English speaking churches. And it's a movement.
Exactly.
How many churches are connected right now?
So right now we have 4,000 people connected to the network. 3 years ago, we just launched 3 years ago. We have 300 churches. Last fall. Now we have more. I'm giving you the statistics from last fall. So 300, we have 300 house churches. 4,000 people connected. We are in seven cities in the United States, another seven countries, and now we have 17 countries as the last thing. So it's growing. And I don't think there is a huge recipe. There is a lot of prayer, fasting, and friends, coming on friends like you who are crazy and say, let's do this. You know, people have to be on fire. They have to be like children, you know, like children. this sense of, of wonder, you know, like what can happen. And that will do it.
Well, what's so amazing about it was I was honored to be a part of this from the beginning.
Yes.
A couple of us got together and dreamed and came together at Asbury and said, what would this look like? And prayed, and we were there. We had communion in the chapel.
In the chapel.
Together, and
yeah, we have pictures.
Francisco came up. We had pictures. Oh, man. I got proof. I was there.
Exactly. Well, we launched this out of Asbury. We came together in the Asbury, met with you. When you received the office of Church Planting, here we are 3 years later. So you can, I mean, whoever is watching this in the future, I hope that they connect with you and what Asbury is doing with the Asbury Connection. I know that Asbury now is creating spaces for more churches and more networks. So what happened with Disciple 21 can happen with other people. And I know that you're leading that too. You know, so I want to encourage people to connect. We're going to have fun. I mean, we're going to spend time together, learn from one another, and continue transforming the world for Christ.
And Yosmar, thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you.
God bless you, my brother. Be blessed and behave. Bye-bye.